Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the Lord Jesus. We praise you for his sacrifice at Calvary, where he shed his blood to pay the price for all of our sins. Father, we praise you for the salvation freely offered to all who will put their trust in him, and that salvation means that your Spirit comes in to live within us permanently. We are transformed. We are made new inside. Father, this is an incredible thing. It's a powerful thing. And we pray that we would remember this, that we would rejoice in what was done in us in a moment's time when we called upon his name. And we pray that as we fellowship in this hour, as we worship together, as we hear the word proclaimed, as we talk with each other afterwards, we pray that we would be built up in our common faith, that we will be strengthened and encouraged in this journey that we're on together. And we pray that we will be leaving here today stronger than when we came in. If there's any sin in our lives that we need to address, Father, we pray that we would do that, each one of us, that we would get right with you if there's something that we're holding on to. And for all of us, that we would be committed all the more strongly to your purposes, to your glory, to the proclamation of your gospel, to be used as children of light, as the word calls us. We pray that we'll be faithful to that and that we will walk stronger this week as a result of our time together. Please, Father, bless this hour. Bless Pastor as he brings the message. We pray that all that is done will be to thine honor and glory. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We are leaning on the everlasting arms.
Beginning the work of the church. All right. Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, entered it with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them, in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple, the Sadducees, came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So, may the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, how good it is to be in your house once again on this Lord's Day and to rejoice in your goodness and your grace and mercy. And Lord, we just thank you so much for your word and the encouragement that it gives to us, that you are a God of love and mercy and grace, that you're reaching out to people that they might be saved, that they might have eternal life, that they might come to know that they have salvation. Oh God, how we pray that your will might be done in each one of our hearts. Encourage us and strengthen us during these days, our Father, days of confusion and so much ungodliness that's going on around us. We pray that you'll keep us in your care. Help us to love you and serve you and follow you and do your holy will, and help others as much as we possibly can. May your will be done, O God. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us to be faithful and to serve you diligently. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's look once again at Acts chapter 3. Looking back at chapter 2, verse 43, it says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now we see one of them here described in this chapter 3 that we're looking at today, the healing of the lame man. Or as one pastor, Pastor Jerry Shirley, entitled it, the man who asked for alms and got legs. You like that? That's a pretty tricky one. Anyway, we find here Peter and John on their way to the temple. Notice they're still going to the temple to pray. This is still very Jewish background. We're still in Jerusalem. The apostles are still practicing the Jewish way of living, and they are going to the temple to pray. There were three different times a day that the devout Jew would have special prayer at the temple. It was 9 a.m., 12 noon, and this is 3 p.m. This the ninth hour would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They were on their way for the time of prayer, and there was a certain lame man that was at the gate, the beautiful gate of the temple, it says. This was a man who had been lame his entire life, you know, and he couldn't do anything for himself. Someone had to bring him and help him to come to his place where he would beg for money each day. So, a terrible situation for this man. He's there asking for alms. Now, Peter and John come along, and you notice in the scriptures, we notice this several times, Peter and John are seen together. Apparently, you know, Jesus divided the disciples up in twos, right? And apparently Peter and John must have been a team, because we find them over and over again being together. They were partners in the fishing business before Jesus ever called them, so they knew each other very well, right? It was Peter and Andrew and James and John, along with their father and the fishing business that they had there. Then they came to Jesus, and they began to work together. They were the ones that prepared the last Passover supper, you remember? It says that Peter and John were the ones that made everything ready for that. And they also ministered, we find, to the Samaritans. Over, if you want, in Acts chapter 8, it speaks of that. They went there to minister to this group of people. So it's interesting to notice that they were always together, and yet they were so different. You know, think, we know Peter, right? He's always ready to speak out and always ready to act. Very impatient and outgoing. Sanguine type, right? Yeah, there he is. And then we have John coming along, the one, it says, whom Jesus loved, sitting next to him very quietly, and always sort of a meditative type person, speaking a great deal about love, right? And yet these two working together. So it goes to show what God can do, right? He puts people together. You know, it's that way so often, even in marriage, right? A man and a woman getting together, you've got two different types, able to live together and to work together. So that's the way it was with Peter and John. And here they are going together to pray. And they stop to see this lame man, there by the gate, who is asking for some help. He had help. He needed help both physically and spiritually, right? He did not know the truth until they gave it to him about the Lord Jesus. So we find this man was born crippled, just like we are crippled by sin. David says over in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So from birth, we are already sinners, aren't we? And we need to be redeemed. We need to be born again, as the scripture says. And this man was in that condition, both spiritually and physically. Could not do for himself. He was totally dependent on others. They had to care for him continually. So it's wonderful to know that there was someone who was looking out for him, right? And certainly that's the way it should be, that those who are in need should be able to depend on others. He remained outside the temple. This is something to think about. You know, a crippled person, someone who had some kind of infirmity, was not allowed to go to the temple. He couldn't go in and worship the Lord there or pray. This was according to the Levitical law. They did not permit people who were not completely well to go into the temple. He sought compassion from other people. And It says here that he was above 40 years old. That says that over in, what, Acts chapter 4, 22. Acts 4, 22 says, "For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed." So for 40 years he had been in this condition, unable to go into the house of God, unable to be with other people who were praying, and unable to do anything for himself. So a long time to be in that condition. And now he's looking for some help. He's not expecting anything dramatic, I don't think. He just looks to Peter and John, asking them for some kind of help. And he sees them going in. He looks at them and he says, you know, "Help me." He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. So he's not expecting anything like healing. He's merely looking for some money to help him along the way. But notice what Peter says. This is a beautiful verse. I like this one. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Wow. Isn't that something? Think of that. We find here Peter saying, "I don't have any money, you know, but I do have Christ. I do have the Lord, right? And in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." So he's meeting his basic need, right? And helping him in this way. I know I read the story about this people at the Vatican. You've probably heard it before. Anyway, this one was saying, you know, "Look at all these wonderful things we've got here, you know, all this beautiful treasure, you know, and all the money that we have put here." And the other person, he says, "You know, we don't lack for anything." And says, "It's a lot different than the way it used to be." The man says, "Oh yes, you've got plenty, silver and gold, but no longer can you say, 'Rise up and walk,'" right? Like to the lame man. And you know, it's one thing to have riches, but it's more important to have the Lord and be able to help others to know Him as well. So that's the idea here, that we see he received so much more than he thought he was going to. Peter, it says, he took him by the right hand and he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You know, this is one of those miracles that happened immediately. No hesitation whatsoever. And God granted this request to show forth the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the name of Jesus that is so powerful and strong. He received new strength. And for the first time in his life, he could walk. And look what it says. It says, he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Can you see that picture? Man, this guy is so excited. You know, he doesn't know what to do. Jumping and hollering and praising the Lord, no doubt attracting a lot of attention. And it's just wonderful to see the joy that comes in a person when God meets their need. Now, this is a physical need, of course, here. But then it doesn't say for sure, but I'm almost sure that he must have accepted the Lord as his Savior and Redeemer. It would be kind of anticlimactic, wouldn't it, if he didn't. After all this, how God had restored him in such a wonderful way, physically, surely, he would also restore him spiritually. And so all the people saw him walking. They said, "Hey, doesn't that guy look familiar? I've seen him somewhere before. Where is he? You know? Oh, he's the guy that was sitting by the gate begging. And now look at him. Here he is up and around, able to go into the temple and rejoicing and praising God for all that he got. The Lord got the credit for this. Isn't that wonderful? You know, a lot of times people don't want to give the Lord credit. I saw a little joke the other day on the internet. It was talking, if I can get this straight now. It was saying this doctor was talking with the patient that was in their bed. And he said to her, now please make sure you don't pray about this, because then the accounting department won't know who to charge. You get that? Anyway, I hope. I'm not very good at telling jokes, but anyway, just lighten things up a little bit, get you to smile. Anyhow, we find here the rejoicing, and they recognized him, and so it brought great glory to God. It's always wonderful when God gets the praise and honor and glory for what he does. So often that doesn't happen. And so they all went in, and then Peter gets the opportunity to proclaim to them what is going on. In beginning in verse 12, it's Peter saw it. He answered the people. And notice he says, ye men of Israel. He's still talking to the Jewish people here. We haven't gotten into the other part about people from different places. This is basically still on Jewish ground. And he says, why are you so surprised? Or why are you looking at us like we've done something special? You know, through our own power or holiness. He says, we haven't done this. Notice, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of your fathers, our fathers, has glorified his Son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. He associates them here with God, the God that they supposedly were worshiping. They were all there at the temple. And he says, yet we are glorifying his Son, Jesus, the one whom you crucified. You delivered him up and denied him when Pilate wanted to let him go. Pilate was determined to let him go. But he says, you denied the Holy One, the Just One, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. We have to make a choice, right? Who are we going to choose? Here in this particular case, it was Barabbas, wasn't it? The man who had been in insurrection, was condemned to death. He was going to be crucified. And yet they said, release Barabbas and crucify Jesus. My. And it seems like people today are still making the wrong choice many times, aren't they? Choosing someone else other than Jesus. Putting something else in the place of the Lord. He's the one that deserves all of our allegiance, all of the credit. And yet, so often we deny him. Because it's not always comfortable to be in the presence of Jesus, especially if you are involved in things that he does not approve of. And people sometimes are willing to turn the other way, take other measures rather than surrendering to him. Notice here, we find Peter is emphasizing three contradictions. Beginning in verse 13, it says, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. This is the contradiction. The Jews demanded Christ's death when Pilate had decided to let him go. Now, Pilate was not a good man by any stretch of the imagination. We know that he was an ungodly person. And yet even he was determined to let Jesus go, but they insisted, no, he must die. And they disowned him and demanded the murderer instead. Then Israel killed, it says, the Prince of Life, but God raised him from the dead. You know, it's amazing that people try their best to overthrow what God has determined, right? And it just doesn't work. God's will is going to be accomplished no matter what. And here, the leaders of the Jewish nation thought that they had gotten rid of this troublemaker, Jesus. They had crucified him. Now he's dead. They buried him in their grave, and okay, that's the end of him, right? But no. 3 days later, he came forth from the grave, didn't he? Victoriously. And this is the message that Peter's preaching to his people here. He says, you need to repent and be converted. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. This is what is needed today in the lives of so many people, right? That continue on in their sin. They want to enjoy their life. As if, you know, if you trust in Jesus, you can't enjoy your life, right? Well, those that have put their faith and trust in him know better than that, don't we? Because he is the one who gives us the joy and peace that we need so much in a world of conflict and desperation. We need him. And certainly, that kind of satisfaction is so much better than what the world receives. Here, it says in verse 16, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So it's all about Jesus Christ and what he has done. Peter here is not taking the credit for this at all. Now, I think the Lord allowed this to happen, these miracles in the early part of the church, in order to grab the people's attention and to accomplish great things. But certainly, it wasn't through the power of any man, only through the power of the living God. And here, he's making that very clear. It says, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. And you know, I wonder about that. Whose faith is he talking about here? Think about this for a minute. This man was sitting there begging for alms, right? For man. He wasn't thinking about being healed. He didn't have the faith to believe that God was going to do anything. It was Peter and John who exercised faith and brought this about, right? I believe. It's like, you remember the one occasion in the life of Jesus when he was in the house teaching and healing people, and these four men had their friend. They couldn't get anywhere near Jesus, right? So what did they do? They went up on the roof, tore the roof apart, and lowered him down before them. And Jesus spoke about their faith, you see. Now, no doubt the man that was healed also had faith, but it was their faith, the faith that believes God for great things. And here I think God uses the faith of others also in the salvation of people. We have to have faith that God is going to do something, right? And here we find that it was through faith in his name. And it's made this man strong. It's the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, no doubt the man's faith did come because it happened, right? I mean, he had to accept it. But I think it initiated with Peter and John that they believed. They knew that Jesus Christ had the power to heal this man, to save him, and they believed that. And God followed through in accepting their faith in behalf of him, of this man. Talking here about the name of Jesus is credited with healing this lame man. The name of Jesus speaks of him as a person, as his character. You know, it talks about the name. When it speaks about the name of someone, it's talking about who they are, who they really are in their essence. So it's the Lord Jesus himself who does the work when we believe in him and in his name. Remember when David confronted Goliath. He said, "Thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." You see? So it's in the name of the Lord God Almighty that we can do these things. It's through his power. And in Acts, Luke spoke of the name of Jesus at least 33 times. Of course, someone counted that up. Peter and John certainly had faith in Jesus and his power. They'd seen him heal others many times. Now, upon the authority he gave to them, they believed he would heal this man, even though he was not personally present. They acted upon their faith in the name of Jesus. Faith itself is worthless unless it has the right object. Our faith must be in God, in Christ, and in his word. We are invited to come to the Father in prayer in the name of Jesus. In his name, we can come directly into the presence of God and receive an answer. He says in one place, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Jesus said that. So then, here he says in verse 17, "Now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers." So he realized that they had killed Jesus, not knowing who he was, not believing, and so he's saying, "I realize that. Now you need to change your way of thinking, repent, turn from your sin and turn to Christ. Be converted and that your sins may be blotted out." Sins blotted out. You know, they say that the debts were recorded on a wax tablet. You know, if you owed somebody something, they put it down in wax. And when the debt was paid, they would take and wipe it off. You know, that's what he's saying here. So the debt's blotted out. The sin is blotted out when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, accepting his sacrifice for our sins. We can have all of our debt canceled, and we no longer are required to pay that debt. Jesus paid it all, song says, right? And here he goes on talking about what's going to happen. In verse 19, he says, "When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, who before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Here is the wonderful hope. Jesus is coming again. And this is according to the entire Bible. All the prophets from the beginning, back from Moses. Moses said, the Lord will send someone like me to deliver you. Speaking of Jesus, he says that right here in verse 22. And throughout the whole scriptures, this has been what God has said. He's going to send Jesus and he's going to send him back again. And so Jesus is the prophet spoken of here, like Moses, that who is going to deliver his people, and he will come again, just like he told his disciples. And he will return. He says, I'll go and prepare a place for you and come again. Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And here we find this wonderful truth, the offer of salvation for all those who will come to him. He speaks here of Samuel, and all the other prophets gave forth this message. And even going back to Abraham in verse 25, it says that he proclaimed, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And we know that that came through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the son of Abraham. And we all benefit from him. And the last verse here says, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So here he's offering salvation to everyone, right? To anyone, to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. We were talking about that in Sunday school a little bit this morning, talking about those who receive Christ as their Savior. It also affects their lives, right? And anyone who continues to live on in ungodliness and sin is proclaiming he's not really a child of God, right? And so here he's saying, but you can have salvation through trusting in Jesus. And then this last little bit here in chapter 4, we find the response. First of all, we see the persecution coming, right? We have the priests, captains of the temple, Sadducees coming to them saying, oh, no, no, don't be preaching about the resurrection. Don't be preaching about this man. You know, the resurrection is not really true, you know. We turn away from it. They came and they were very upset. And they approached these Peter and John and tried to get them to stop. They were grieved, it says, that they taught the people. It's like many people today are grieved because they don't want to accept the fact that Christ is the only way of salvation. And yet, that's what the Scriptures teach us, isn't it? And we have to believe that he is the one who came forth from the grave. He is the one who has declared himself to be the Savior of all those who believe in him. And so they put him in prison for the night. And then it says in verse 4, though, howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So you remember there were 3,000 Peter reached the first time, and they were baptized and joined the group. Now we have 5,000. Now you can figure out that, of whether there were 5,000 more or whether they came to be 5,000, depends on your the way it's translated. But at least God blessed in a marvelous way, didn't he? There were many that came to put their faith and trust in Christ and were added to the group. Here, it's one of the main themes running through the book of Acts, the growth of the church in spite of the persecution, right? That's what happens so often. Persecution brings on a greater growth of the church. And the Lord is using that in many places. So the name of Jesus was exalted. God blessed in a mighty way. And the apostles continued on serving him faithfully. And we're here today just seeking to do the same thing. Now today, God's reaching out throughout the whole world, not only to the Jewish people there in the beginning of the book of Acts, but now he's branched out to everyone. And we are proclaiming the message that Jesus saves. He's the only one who can save, and he's willing to save anyone who will come to him. Put your faith and trust in him. Repent and be converted. Turn to him and allow him to be your Savior. And for us as believers, we need to proclaim that message in every way we possibly can to everyone that we can reach. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your precious word to our hearts today. We ask you to help us to be obedient, to do your will in all things, and that many, many precious souls might be saved through the preaching of the gospel, through the conversations, reaching one-on-one, in any way possible, Lord, that we might be able to see more people coming to know you in personal faith. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. We pray in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.